Hello, this is Daryl Kessel with today's podcast. Today is Friday, November 13th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss another Muslim custom, and that is the murder of young Muslim women by their own relatives. Throughout the United States and Europe, as well as in Muslim countries, young Muslim women are in danger of being killed by family members who murder their daughters in order to defend the family's honor. They call it honor killing, but I prefer the term honor murder. Young Muslim women come to the United States at an early age and find themselves caught between two worlds. They are Americanized. They want to be like their friends, typical American teenagers. Their traditional Muslim family doesn't want them to become Westernized, since that is a capital crime in the Muslim faith. Although they live in the United States, they are expected to wear a traditional Muslim dress, to not have any American boyfriends, and to marry the person selected for them by their families. To do otherwise, they risk being killed for the honor of the family, although the Quran does not authorize honor killing. Surah 4:34 instructs men to beat disobedient wives and to send them to sleep in separate beds. Tribal elders often repeat the teachings of their clerics that women have to be pruned like olive trees, they say. Olive trees that catch woodworm, in order to keep the orchard pure, you have to prune them. Acts that demand punishment include refusing to wear a hijab or headscarf, having a non-Muslim boyfriend or male friends of any origin, being sexually active, rejecting arranged marriages, seeking employment and/or education, and most of all, attempting to assimilate into Western culture. Quite often, a capital offense for a Muslim girl is being raped, especially if the rapists are relatives. She is somehow rendered unclean by this and has dishonored her family, tribe, etc., and their honor dictates that she must be killed, their own daughter. In the Muslim culture, it seems, a female relative's sexual and reproductive activities are assets that belong to her father's family, tribe, religion. They are not seen as individual rights and individually the property of each female human being. So in essence, in Islam, women are nothing more than chattel property with no control over who they marry, how they look, or how they live. Why any Western woman would choose to marry into such a culture is beyond my comprehension. Let's look at some recent examples in Muslim countries and in the West. First, in Afghanistan, we take up the recent case of a young woman known only as Rukshana. When she was a young girl, she was given in marriage to a man she didn't know and obviously didn't love. Since she was illegally forced to marry him, she left her husband and ran away with a young man named Mohammed Gul, age 22. Rukshana was 19 at the time. Rukshana was caught and this time forced to become the third wife of a 55-year-old man. Rukshana was different in that she was literate, i.e. she could read. She was pretty, so the men of the tribe wanted to marry her, and since her sexuality was just community property, she should have just gone along with whatever her father dictated. But she was in love with Mr. Gul, so again she ran away with him. The local mullah, when she was captured this time, sentenced her to be stoned to death. The men dug a pit so that only her head could protrude from it and threw stones at her until she was dead. The whole thing took about 2 hours. During the ordeal, she could be heard saying, quote, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet," end quote. Since Mr. Gul was not married at the time, he was only given 100 lashes. This ancient and barbaric culture is now being imported into the United States by the millions. Just this week, it was reported that the United States spent $1 billion, that's right, $1 billion, on a website and software to allow immigration applications online. There are thousands of these murders worldwide each year in the West as well as in Muslim countries. In Jordan, 1/3 of all violent deaths are believed to be honor murders. On New Year's Day in Louisville, Texas, two teenage sisters, Sarah and Amina Saeed, were found brutally murdered in a taxi After having made a phone call to the police asking for help, their father, a Muslim man married to a Christian woman, had a history of violent abuse toward his daughters. They were normal American kids, high school athletes. They would leave home with the headscarf, then take it off at school. Their father believed that, quote, Western culture was corrupting the chastity of his daughters. Amina had been awarded a $20,000 scholarship to attend college, and Sarah planned to become a doctor. But their father shot them to death in his own taxi. He is still at large. 16-year-old Aksa Parvez of Ontario, Canada, a vivacious and popular young woman who wanted to lead a normal teenage life, but that angered her Pakistani father. Aksa was opposed to wearing the hijab, often took it off at school. She ran away from home 1 week before the attack out of fear of her father, but she eventually returned. And when she did, he strangled her to death. She died in the hospital. Her father was charged with murder and her 26-year-old brother with obstructing the investigation of her murder. It's not always Muslim men who kill. Women sometimes kill infants, spouses, and adult children. Women often play a central role in honor-based murder, often acting as conspirator accomplices and or hands-on killers. Many studies have been done of various honor murders around the world. I could list thousands of examples, and many examples of how it has spilled over into the West. The majority of both hands-on killers and conspirator accomplices blame their victims for their fate. They are cold, calculating, self-righteous people. The killers usually verbally and physically abused, monitored, and stalked their victims, warning them of dire consequences for failure to obey the rules. For example, Aksa, that I mentioned earlier, her mother in a police interview said she, quote, thought her husband was only going to break her legs and arms, but he killed her straight away. She should have listened, the mother said. She should have listened since everyone tried to make her understand. She showed no remorse, no regret. Her father and brother received life sentences with parole eligibility in 18 years, thanks to the very lenient Canadian penal system. The mother was not charged with any crime. In Muslim countries, honor murderers are almost never prosecuted, since it is a permissible act in those societies. And since women are basically just community property without any rights, without any value, here in America, we continue to import them, and our police tell us that honor murders are very hard to prosecute because of the non-cooperation of the Muslim communities and the belief that it is their right to murder their children. There was a story told about General Sir Charles James Napier when he was British commander in India at the time of the Raj. About 1840, the local Hindu priest had a custom of burning widows alive on the funeral pyres of their husband. The custom was called sati, and it was prohibited by British authorities. The priest came to Napier to complain about the prohibition. Reportedly, he said, quote, be it so, this burning of widows is your custom. Prepare the funeral pyre. But my nation also has a custom. When men burn women alive, we hang them and confiscate their property. My carpenters shall therefore erect gibbets on which to hang all concerned. When the widow is consumed, let us all act according to our national customs, end quote. Well, perhaps that would be a suitable answer to these honor murders. You have your customs and we have ours. Ours is to send you to death row. At least that's the way I see it. Till next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.